As Dwayne was asking God to smile down on us, I was reminded of Psalm 67. I just thought I would read it this morning. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And when that day does draw near, when we pass from this life, we'll have 10,000 years, and that'll just be the very beginning of the time to sing praises of God in all eternity. And so we're so glad that you came to worship with us today, especially since it's really 7:14 in the morning. So we're glad that you're here. It's kind of interesting that we're going to be talking a little bit about this trip to the Dominican, and we're on Dominican time, because Dominican time is an hour ahead. So I expect when we go out these doors today, 85 degrees and sunshine. That's what I'm expecting. God can do it. Don't know if he will, but that's what I'm expecting. I'm really not expecting that. But if you're here for the very first time, we hope that you stopped at our Welcome Center and picked up a Welcome Center gift bag. But if you didn't do that and you still would like to know more information about the church or anything at all that we can help you with, there's a connection card here in the bulletin that you can, that's in the right side of the bulletin, I won't bother to take it out, and tear that off and drop it in the offering plate when it gets passed at the end of the service or in one of the little black boxes back there. We also are, this Sunday and next Sunday, taking a family in need offering. We have a family need fund that we use to help families here at our congregation who are in financial need. Those little brown envelopes in there are what those are for this week and next. If you feel led to help with that, we would love for you to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I'm so thankful that we have so many reasons to sing praises to you. And as we come into this place this morning, perhaps some of us a little sleepier than normal, I pray that we would just be able to cast our cares on you, to give everything over to you this morning, that our hearts and our minds would be tuned in to everything that you have for us today. Perhaps you've already spoken to someone this morning in a very, very meaningful way through the music. Maybe it was a handshake, maybe it was a hug, maybe it was some type of a request that was made this morning. Father, I'd like to take just a few moments for us just to be silent before you. Maybe we need to confess something to you. Maybe we just need to think about again all of the reasons that we have to praise your name, that your face shines upon us. Please, Father, just receive our silent prayers this morning. Father, may we never forget what a privilege it is to be able to pray. What an amazing privilege it is to take to the God of the universe, the God who said, light be and light became, our requests. And that you even ask us over and over again in the word that you have revealed to us, that you want us to take our requests to you. And you will answer. You will answer in ways that are best for us and that are ultimately best for your glory. And then may we respond to those answers, even when they're different than what we would do or what we would desire. Father, I pray for Jane Mast as she hopefully is coming home today from her hip surgery. We ask your hand of healing to continue upon her and Quentin Dorman. And it's good to see Roxy here yesterday at the auction. And just continue to mend those who are suffering and pray for Keith as his upcoming surgery will be here in a few weeks, and ask that you would just take that pain away from him. Lord, the different relationships that are struggling right now in our congregation, I just pray that you would move in the midst of all of those things. Lord, help us to set aside whatever might be in the way of you in being involved fully in everything that we do. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for pulling these groups of people together. Very different in many ways, yet alike with a bond in Christ or a desire to know more about him and his plan. Lord, I pray that's what we do today as we look at what I think is a really important topic for us today. And so, Father, again, we give you glory. We're reminded of all the reasons that we have to sing for how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, kids, if you're going to head back to junior worship, we invite you to do that right now. Thanks again. Thanks again for all the to all the volunteers who help out each and every week back there. If you haven't been back in the nursery recently, it's been renovated. It looks great back there, a little more space. And thanks to everybody who contributed with that and helped out in those ways. Today we're going to take a little bit of a detour from the series on 1 John called True Love to talk a little bit about something that I think is really, really important for us in terms of the ministry at Buffalo Valley, in terms of the past and even the future of where we're sort of headed as a congregation and one way in which I think that manifests itself. I mentioned earlier that today we're going to talk a little bit also about the trip that 10 of us went on to the Dominican Republic a couple of weeks ago. It's hard to believe it's more than a week ago already. But as we get started, the title of the message is Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? Now, I know for many of you, you have already begun to sort of hum that song in your mind. And that song actually was released in 1981 by the English punk rock band The Clash. And though they didn't know it, they were actually publishing a very theologically important song. I doubt that they kind of got that as they wrote the song. But the chorus of the song sort of goes like this. Should I stay or should I go now? Dum, 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 dum. Should I stay or should I go now? Dum, dum, dum. You know, if I go, there will be trouble, right? If I stay, it will be double. You all, most of you, many of you know the song, right? Come on and let me know, should I stay or should I go? And it was written about a girl, all right, a relationship that the person either had or was just making up, I don't know. But the idea was, you know, should I stay or should I go now? What should I do? Well, 10 of us decided that we would go. And so I wanted to show you a little picture here. This is a picture of the Dominican Republic, which the country on the left there is Haiti. And I always love to use these little lasers. We were right here at San Juan de la Maguana. That is where we went. We flew into Santo Domingo, which is the major city here in the Dominican. And after a rather eventful trip, which included an hour and a half stranded in the flooded waterways of Santo Domingo, we ended up at San Juan de la Maguana, where we were to build to begin the process of constructing the church building. And I wanted to show you some pictures just real quickly. There's the 10 of us that are here in the group and interspersed among some of the young men and women who helped us there with the construction project. And then this is a picture of some of the church family. Pastor Richard is right here, and his wife's right here. And this is our translator, Angie, who made our time there absolutely wonderful. So this was the house that we spent the last night in the Dominican, eating dinner with them. And what you do when you go on places like this is you impact people. You don't so much go to build a building. You don't so much go to do. You go to impact people. And so we think about this phrase, should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? Really, for the follower of Jesus, I mean, if you want to follow Jesus Christ in your life, that's really an easy answer to that question. It's an obvious answer to the question. The answer to the question, should I stay or should I go, is obvious. It's obvious. We should go. Should I stay or should I go now? We should go. We have to go. It's imperative that we go. And let me just show that to you this morning. The problem, however, is that the struggle, or if you would, the clash, is between our desire to be comfortable and God's desire for us to be useful. We all struggle with this desire to be comfortable. We all struggle with, maybe you don't, but I do, struggle with the desire to sort of amass things and people around my life that make me comfortable. And I don't like to get outside of that particular zone and move out of that realm. And so the comfortable thing is good for me, and it's probably good for you, and it's certainly good for most of us. And so the clash between this idea of should I stay or should I go is what makes me comfortable. And it might not even be just me. It might not, and it might be you. It might be someone you love. It might be a child. It might be a parent. It might be a brother or a sister. Your desire for them to stay and to be comfortable, or perhaps God's desire for them to do something else, to be useful for God's kingdom at that particular moment or particular season of life, or perhaps for a lifetime, and the struggle or clash between that. I don't really want to let them go. I know they should go, but I don't want to let them go. I know I should go, but I really don't want to go because I want to be comfortable where I am. So that's the struggle or clash that we sometimes have. And so I just want to jump right into this morning, the call to go. The call to go. There is a call for us to go. Buffalo Valley has a call to go. We have a call to impact the nations for the gospel. That's really what Psalm 67 that I read earlier is all about. It's this idea of God using Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren to be a blessing not only to folks around the street, but to folks around the world. Now, we typically assign some importance to the last words of people, right? That's where we get this expression, famous last words. There's an importance assigned to the last words of an individual. So what I want to do is just briefly show you the last recorded words of Jesus. So if this principle is true, which it usually is, the idea is that there should be some importance here in these words, that the last words of Jesus, the last recorded words of Jesus, are probably words that we ought to pay significant, if not special, attention to as we walk through our lives. So let's look at these. This is in Matthew chapter 28, near the very last words that Matthew records of Jesus after he has already been crucified and resurrected. And we read in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," that's the disciples, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So these are the words that Matthew records as these final words of Jesus before he ascends into heaven. And then we have recorded similar words in Mark chapter 16. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And then in the book of Acts, which is really sort of a continuation of the gospel of Luke, the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 8, just as Jesus, right before it's recorded for us that Jesus ascends into heaven, he says this to his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So these are the last recorded words of Jesus. And what does he talk about? Does he talk about theology? Though theology is important, he doesn't talk about theology. Does he talk about worship preference or style or stuff like that? No, he doesn't talk about that, though those things can be important. He talks about and answers the question, should I stay or should I go now? And Jesus says, what? Go. Jesus says to go. The follower of Jesus answers, I should go. Now, it doesn't have to be go across the ocean. And this congregation has a history of going. It's a history of going places. It has a history of helping out, whether it's in this country or around the world or around the street. Or in our own school system, as Buffalo Valley is very involved with the ministerium in providing food for kids who take their backpacks home on the weekends with food in so they can have food for the weekend. There's all kinds of things that we do. But there's more we can do. There's more of you who can say, you know what? I'm not going to stay anymore. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to be involved in the things that God wants me to do. The clash that is between my comfort zone and what God wants me to do, I'm going to let God win that battle, and I'm going to go. So should I stay or should I go now? The answer is obvious for the follower of Jesus. We answer, I should, in fact, go. The call to go has been clear and consistent from the very beginning. From the very beginning, this was on God's heart. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, as God calls Abraham, or Abram at that time, out from the land of Ur and says, you know what, you're going to be my special people. He said to him, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it wasn't like, Abraham, I've chosen you, and I'm just going to pour all kinds of blessing in you, and you're just going to soak it all up, and it's going to be wonderful. No, the idea was to be a blessing to the other nations. The idea for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren is to be a blessing to the other nations and to be a blessing to the people around us as God blesses us ourselves. Now, what happened in the early church is that the early disciples quickly got to work, but then they got stuck. And we begin to read through the book of Acts, which is sort of a history book of the early church. And we see that right after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit did come down upon them on the day of Pentecost. In chapter 3, Peter and John are out there preaching, and they're suffering some persecution and things are happening. But they're getting out there preaching, and they're in the city of Jerusalem. But they don't go anywhere. They kind of get comfortable in Jerusalem. I don't really like to throw the disciples under the bus here too much, because again, this is what I would have done. But God says that there's something else that they need to do. And they suffer from, I think, the same thing that you and I suffer from. And it's this idea of spiritual inertia. Many of you know what the law of inertia is. The law of inertia says that an object at rest tends to stay at rest. This music stand right here is at rest. And unless somebody applies some type of force, don't worry, I'm not going to push it over. In case somebody applies some type of force to it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stay right here. And an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So in like outer space or in a place where there's no friction or things like that, if you were to, you know, just woo, you know, throw a ball out there or whatever, it's going to go. It's going to keep on going and going and going. It's the law of inertia. Well, the significant problem for us is that we have spiritual inertia. Should I stay or should I go now? Well, it's easier to stay. And despite responding to some force, despite responding to some movement of God to go, we're just going to sit where we are. We're just going to stay. And so what the disciples did is they stayed, and God overcame their spiritual inertia with persecution. God said, well, guess what? I want you to go. Remember Jesus said you were to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem? Hey, got that one? Check that box. But he said other stuff too, right? He said Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and they weren't doing that. So we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, now Saul, now this is the guy Saul that turns into Paul later in the New Testament, Saul was consenting to his death, to the death of Stephen from the earlier chapter. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of where? Judea and Samaria. Isn't that interesting? That's exactly what Jesus said, right? Go into all the world. He said, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And so that's exactly what's happening. Except the apostles. Some of those apostles stayed right there in Jerusalem. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And verse 4 says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. And so in your notes it says, though the followers of Jesus changed their address, they didn't change their message. They had to change their address. They were suffering persecution. They were fearing for their life, so they began to scatter out into the regions. But they didn't change the message. They didn't say, well, that was difficult. I think I'll just go over here to this new part of Judea, Samaria, but I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. No, they didn't do that. Because they knew that part of going was to continue to tell about this incredible Savior, this incredible God that they had experienced either firsthand or had heard about firsthand or had seen after he was resurrected. And they told people about what it is that they had seen. That's the message for us. We go everywhere preaching Jesus Christ. Now we have to listen to the words of Jesus if we want to demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ. We have this great saying on the back of our wall. Together we will passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. We cannot do that completely only in Union or Snyder County. We cannot do that. We cannot fulfill the mission and purpose of Christ if we don't listen to the words of Jesus. And all of his last words had to do with what? Going, getting out there, sharing this good news. So if we want to passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ, we have to go. We have to get out there. Should I stay or should I go now is answered by saying, yes, I will go. There is an incredible call to go. Now, let me just mention this, because some of you are thinking, I can't go to the Dominican. I don't like to fly. You can't drive there, by the way. You can't do that. Or maybe your health would prevent you from going on something like that. Well, there's lots of ways to go. Right? We can go physically. You can do that. You can go financially. You can give and help support others as they were going or giving to the efforts and things that are happening around the world. Or you can go prayerfully. And go prayerfully. There's lots of ways to go, depending on how God moves in your life at that moment to go. Many of us were able to give sacrificially to help money to go to Nigeria, to send to the Nigerian crisis, things that are going on there with the Boko Haram. And this week, or maybe it was last week, we got a letter from our denomination. It says, "Thank you, Buffalo Valley, for your generous financial gift to the Nigeria Crisis Fund, because you cared enough to give so much. Our struggling sisters and brothers in Nigeria are receiving," you know, I have bifocals and I'm not even reading through them. There we go. "Are receiving much needed aid and support. Thank you again and may God continue." Wow, those things aren't as blurry as I thought. "And may God continue to bless you in Christ's name." And it's Jay Whitmire and Roy Winter and Carol and Roxanne Hill. So, you know what? We couldn't go to Nigeria. We couldn't get on a plane and go to Nigeria. They didn't need us to do that. They needed our money. They needed our resources. And you did it. You gave over $50,000. To Nigeria, which was matched by the denomination, was turned into over $100,000 that went to feed and clothe and help people get settled in camps and to teach them and to instruct them. So it's not just simply about going. So please don't sit here and think, well, I can't go for whatever reasons that you have at this point in your life to go, and very valid reasons. Well, that doesn't matter. You can go other ways. You don't have to go physically. You can go prayerfully. You can go financially. There's all kinds of ways in which you can go. Here's a couple of ways in which, this is one way in which we had to go. Each morning, we piled into the back, most of us, many of us, into the back of a pickup truck. And those of you that are younger or older, you remember a day when you could do this, you know, without getting pulled over and sent to jail. And so we would all pile in, six, seven, eight of us at times. I think at one point with some kids in there, one time there were 14. I wasn't in the back at that moment, but I think there were 14 people in the back of the pickup truck. And we never quite knew from day to day whether this pickup truck was going to get us to where it needed to go. But it did, thankfully. It got us there everywhere we went. And I wanted to show you just quickly, as we were thinking about this idea of the call to go, just some other pictures of people. Girls there on the left are some of the folks that lived in the neighborhood around the building that we were building. Right there is that's Brian Hurst. Even though it looks like he has hair, he still does not. But that was a really great way to keep the sun off your ears and stuff. So he's sitting there with a couple of boys there in the wheelbarrow. This is Elaine and Wendy. They were our best ambassadors there at the place. They went out and they met the kids, and the kids also came running around. And so we have Wendy and Elena there. I think I have just couple more. Pastor Richard and his wife there on the left, and there's Brian engaging in an arm wrestling contest with a Dominican brother, and we won't tell you how it ended out. How it turned out? No, actually, it ended in a tie. And so this is the idea, the call to go. It's about people. It's about investing in people, whether you can go physically, or whether you can pray, or whether you can give so that other people can go, and so that the mission can accomplish. So there is a call to go, right? There is a call to go. We have groups going to Westernport. We have a group going in April to Westernport. Then this summer, we're going again for a week. God willing, we're going to go back to the Dominican at some point again next year. We're looking for opportunities and ways for us to go so that we can impact the lives of people, or so that God can impact the lives of people through us. That is what we look and want to do. But I need to remind us all of something. There is a cost to go. There is a call to go, but the Bible says and indicates for the early disciples and early church and for us, there is a cost to go. And I'm not talking about the financial cost to go. There is conflict from without. When you read the book of Acts, as these disciples went out into Judea and Samaria, and especially as this guy Saul, who came to know Jesus on this dramatic conversion and became this guy we know as Paul, as he and a guy named Barnabas were sent out from the church at Antioch to really take the gospel to the known world for them, they faced an incredible amount of conflict. Paul never went anywhere that he wasn't kicked out of. He was always kicked out of them. One place he was stoned and left for dead. There was a lot of conflict from without, conflict from those peoples that they came to share the gospel with. Some believed and followed Jesus, but others did not. And for financial reasons or religious reasons or whatever, they persecuted the disciples that went out. Now, we did not experience any of that in the Dominican, but I am confident that as we increase our desire to go and to impact the nations with the gospel, I am confident that we will see that kind of conflict. there will be instances and trips and opportunities where Satan, who does not want us to do this, he does not want us to passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. He does not want us to be a blessing to the nations. There will be something will happen. Things will happen. There will be persecution that will come in from without. But perhaps even more immediate for us, I think, is a cost we have to count. And that's the conflict from within. That's the conflict from within. When you read about these accounts as the early church went out and did this, it wasn't like everything within the church was always hunky-dory. They had a lot of conflict. In fact, Paul, who goes out with this guy Barnabas on their first missionary journey, when they get back, they disagree over who they should take along with them the next time. And they actually split up. There is conflict between these two men of God over answering the call of God. And in Acts chapter 15, shortly after that missionary journey thing was kind of completed, or just the tail end of it, the church almost blows apart because of conflict over the idea of, do these new Gentile believers, do these new non-Jewish believers still need to keep the law? Do they need to be circumcised? Do they need to keep the law in addition to following Christ? I mean, the church almost blows apart at that moment. There is all kinds of conflict from within. And I think that we need to understand and recognize at Buffalo Valley that we're going to have that. We're going to have that kind of conflict. Again, a lot of it is simply going to be just personalities and ways in which we struggle with getting along and different priorities. I don't suspect that everybody in the congregation of the Church of the Brethren really sees this idea or this need to go. Hey, we have lots of needs here. We have lots of things we have to take care of here, and we do. And your voice is important, and we certainly want you to share that voice. If you're just really adamant, though, if you're somebody's like, yeah, doggone it, we ought not need to go around the world. We don't need to go to Westernport. We don't need to go. Just please make sure that you talk to somebody who has gone already and get their perspective, or go yourself. See what happens. Nobody comes back and says, oh, that was a waste of time. It doesn't work that way. But as we go and across the street or around the world, I am confident that we are going to face more and more conflict from within. We're going to get on each other's nerves. Because again, Satan doesn't want us to do these things. And we have really significant and I think wonderful ways in which to help manage the kind of conflict that we come up against here at Buffalo Valley. And I'm not meaning to say that you know, every conflict that we come up against is satanic or anything like that. But just be ready for it. Be ready for it. Because I think it's going to come. And then my next slide is from my series many, many, many months ago. Conflict is inevitable, but it can also be profitable. Remember Paul and Barnabas, where they split up? Well, God used that conflict to create two mission teams. So Paul went out with a guy named Silas, and Barnabas went out with a guy named John Mark. And so God took the inevitable conflict and made it profitable by taking one mission team and turning it into two. So just be ready for it. And just be ready to work through it. And just be ready to see that kind of thing happen. And then finally, and I'm going to ask Jake and Marlon to come on up here. So if you guys would make your way up here, just ask them to share a little bit about the blessing of going. Now, that's not a typo. You see, I had the cost and the call, or the call and the cost, and I couldn't think of any word that was a synonym of blessing that began with the letter C, because, you know, you got to alliterate when you're preaching. So I just made up a new word. So it's the kablessing of going, all right? The kablessing of going. And so I asked these guys to just share a minute or two about one way. I'll do Marlon first. One way in which going on this trip was a blessing to them.
Hello. Always go with the heart to serve, and you know, you go and you feel like you're going to be the one doing the serving, and you end up feeling like you're one that was served and being blessed by others. It was an experience there as far as the driving. There's no stop signs really, and there's a few red lights that really don't work, and so that they just blow the horn when they want someone to get out of the way to, you know, just keep going. And lots of scooters and mopeds and stuff. But the family there that we were serving, the pastor and his family, they were wonderful as far as serving us and feeding us I think we all gained about 10 pounds. But you come home feeling like you were blessed more than you were actually doing, like feeling like you were giving the blessing to them. So.
Sure. Thank you, Marlon. Marlon and Jake were actually two of the guys who laid a lot of block. Where we won't call them blockheads, but they laid a lot of the block there. So.
Yeah, a couple slides ago you said the conflict within. There was some conflict within here before we went because 15 years ago when the group went to Dominican, I was 15 years younger and laying block and carrying block was a lot easier. And I thought, I'm not sure I can handle it anymore, but we decided to go and the blessings, I'm not an experienced block layer. I've got a lot more experience than I had before. I actually learned that block have a top and a bottom. I didn't know that before. So the blessing, I became educated. But the other blessing is the what you get when you interact with people. And you don't have to know the language. All you have to do is smile. And on Monday afternoon, down there they have school from 8 o'clock till noontime. And then when it gets real hot, well, then the kids are out. But Monday afternoon, Wendy and Elena were playing with the little kiddies and the girls and stuff. And then Tuesday, I was up on the scaffolding and I was laying some block. And about it was the sirens go off at noontime, and then after a while you see little kids running around. But after I heard this little, "Señor, Señor," and I looked down, and there was this little girl looking up at me, and she says, "Wendy, Wendy." She was looking for Wendy, and she was ready to play again. And it's that; those are the blessings that you receive when you go on a place and go to a trip like this.
Great. Thank you, Jake, very much. Thank you. Yeah, we were commenting that the most important piece of equipment on a Dominican transportation vehicle is the horn. It's the most important thing. And so here's where I'm going to ask Wendy and Elena to come up and just briefly share a couple of blessings, a couple of things that they want to share about their trip. So Elena, why don't you come on up, and Wendy's going to come on up, and we have a microphone here for you to share. Elena also had the privilege of playing drums, and she plays drums really well in Spanish. And Elena, why don't you just share with us just a couple of thoughts that you have.
Sure. Okay. So where do I want to start with all of this? I don't like public speaking, sorry. Bear with me. So this trip was a bit of a reality check for me, I guess more so than I was expecting. At the end of the week, I thought back to all of my interactions with the people and everything that we did and everything that I saw. And I realized that it was the least stressful week that I have had in probably a couple years, a lot of years. And I mean, there were reasons to be stressed while we were down there. There were things to worry about. There were things to be upset about and sad about. But I really wasn't personally, and it didn't seem like anyone else was either. I mean, even the Dominicans, they were so worry-free and carefree. And I mean, we even got a saying, what would they say, not a problem or something
not
like that?
Important.
Not yes, important. Not important. That's what it was. Not important. Important. Not you important. Know, we would screw up something on the work site. Not important. Not important.
Not so, important. Not
okay.
Important.
So it kind of made me realize, you know, coming from the States here where we have all this privilege and, you know, just seeing all of the things that they didn't have that we have and just how it didn't affect them at all. You know, they were perfectly fine. As Pastor Eric said, I played the drums at the one service, and that that thing, like, to me, I may as well have just been banging on a bunch of pans and trash cans. Like, that's what it sounded like, but it really, it didn't matter at all. You know, it was not important. It worked, and it was good. So, yeah, like, it just made me realize that if they can be that way with the things that they have and don't have, then, I mean, there's no reason why I should really be getting stressed out when somebody calls me at work while I'm trying to do something else. You know, it's not important, so, yeah. So yeah, it was just a bit of a reality check, but it was a really, really great trip, you know, eye-opening, and I know a couple of us are hoping to learn Spanish a little better so we can minister to them better next time, hopefully. So, yep.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you much.
Well, God's already moving mountains with me being up here. I had to write mine up because I'm no public speaker either. First of all, I want to thank this congregation for having such a generous missions budget. It allows all of us in one way or another, whether you travel or I travel, or we all are the hands and feet of God and the body of Christ, and collectively as a congregation to take part in the Great Commission. And no, Eric and I didn't talk beforehand. And we have a chance to show our brothers and sisters in another part of the world that the love that we feel for them, and I think that's pretty incredible in itself. The trip was very incredible to me. I went on this trip because I fell in love with the Dominican people a number of years ago after I vacationed in the country a couple times. My experience with the Dominicans, the people of the Dominican, prior to this mission trip was that they are very happy and gracious people. They seem to love life no matter what their circumstances are. And that struck me when I was vacationing down there. I had so much in comparison to them. I was blessed beyond compare, and I didn't even really know it. I had everything that I needed and most everything that I wanted. I was wealthy, and I didn't know it. Yet I couldn't say I was as happy as they were. Needless to say, traveling home was a bit tear-filled. I felt unworthy of what I had. I felt selfish because of everything I had, and I was actually ashamed that I was ungrateful for everything that I was blessed with. This country and the people really touched me, and on subsequent trips to the Dominican, my sister and I would always take some things for the people, some clothes. We took money. We gave it to all the people that we became friends with. So when I learned of the mission trip to San Juan, I immediately felt the call to go. I wanted to do whatever I could for the Dominican people I already fell in love with. My hand went up before I could even think about it. I said, "Here I am, Lord, this time. Send me." Finally, I would go on my first ever mission trip. I had always felt like I wasn't in a position to go, but this time I was going to get there. So as I'm a part of this congregation going to be a blessing to others, I was the one that was very incredibly blessed. I was humbled. I was humbled to be working beside so many people, men and women, Dominican and American, who love the Lord. I can't describe the humility I felt one day. While I was working beside Brian and Marlon, I felt that these men were pillars of God, and all the people down there were pillars of God. They were incredible. I was brought to tears again on this trip, as in the trips past, when God made me aware of those things that he made me aware of and that touched me, and then the things that I was experiencing on this trip. There I was in a strange place doing my teeny tiny little part of building a building that our brothers and sisters of that small but mighty congregation would have the privilege to worship in and have the privilege to invite others in to learn about Jesus. What led up to my feelings of being so humbled was the relationship I made with the children. As I experienced a first while I was playing with the children that lived near the building site, and it's because of them that I saw what I believe God wanted to show me by sending me on this trip. The very reason I raised my hand and said, "Send me," without thinking about it, were the children. They embraced all of us. It didn't matter that our skin was a different color or that we were strangers. The second afternoon of working, I finally asked if I could go play. Pastor Eric said, "Sure, go play." So out I went with my Super Bowl, a couple Super Bowls that I took to throw ball with the kids. And with the kids, you don't need any words. You don't need to communicate with words. It didn't matter that we couldn't talk to each other. We figured it all out. Soon we were throwing the ball back and forth and taking turns. Then we ended up playing hide and seek. That was an experience in and of itself, because half the places those little hands dragged me to, I didn't want to go. It's not a very cleanly place, to say the least. We skipped together, we played together, we ate lifesavers together, and eventually I told them that we were building a church, an iglesia. They looked at me with questioning eyes, as they did when I spoke in English to them, and they couldn't understand me. So I said it again, an iglesia. This still the same looks I got the same looks. I was pretty certain I was saying it correctly, but I thought, oh, okay, I'll say Jesus. Then they'll understand. So I said, Jesus, Jesus. And I still got the same looks. And I was kind of stumped. I thought, okay, well, I'll go get Angie, our translator. I took two steps to go get her, and then I just stopped, and I turned around and went back to the kids, and I thought, I know I said that right. I said the words right. And it dawned on me that they never heard the word church or Jesus ever. They didn't know what it meant, and that just floored me. That's when this mission trip really made an impact on me, a really big impact. I stood there and I thought, what do I do? What do I tell them? And I thought, well, I can't explain to them in a couple days what a church is and who Jesus is. We don't have time for them to learn that just in a couple days. But that's why we all went to the Dominican in the first place, I believe. That's why we went to help Pastor Richard build a church so he and his congregation can reach more people, to teach his community about the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not only the 10 of us who traveled to the Dominican to help build a building. I believe that we're all the body of Christ. It's all of us here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. We are the body of Christ. We all work in one way or another to help to bring the people into the kingdom of God. Whether you pray or donate or go, you're all the body of Christ. We're all part of the Great Commission. So thank you for sending 10 of us and for being generous and for praying and allowing us to go. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. Mm-hmm. So that's just a part of the blessing. So many blessings, not enough to really have enough time up here to talk about all of those things. You see, we will clash here at times on policy and procedure and inevitably in personality. It's just going to happen. But we will move ahead with God's plan for us. Should I stay or should I go? Never should we be dissuaded from going because of personality or procedure or policy. We will work all of those things out. The important question is, for me to answer and for really all of you to answer, is should I stay or should I go? You see, I am convinced that God will pour resources of money and people into this church as we use these resources not for our good, but for his glory. We won't want for anything that we need to be able to go when we decide to go. Now, let me just land this plane. I'm not exactly sure what the step is for you next for the going part. Some of you, it could be going home and reading the book of Acts. That could be the first step in you going. Maybe it's reading the Bible for the very first time. Maybe it's getting your questions answered about who this Jesus character is that you've heard about as a child, but you never really explored much as an adult, and you hear people talk about him, and you don't really know what that is. Maybe your first step of going isn't getting on an airplane and flying to the Dominican. It's going home and opening up a Bible, or it's picking up a telephone or grabbing someone in person or typing out an email that says, hey, I don't even understand any of all this. That's your first step of going. Maybe for some of you, it's starting to go to Sunday school for the first time, getting involved in a small group that talks about the Bible and that where you can sort of go from just kind of seeing the back of people's heads in a setting like this to actually seeing their faces and to talking about the Word of God as the Spirit of God then takes that time and helps to prepare you to be able to go, maybe get on an airplane or in a car or something like that. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you already know, you know what, I need to go to fill in the country, but I don't know how to get there. Well, hey, if God's brought you here, then there's a reason in that, and maybe the church body can help discern how to help you get there to that place. Or maybe there's a group that needs to go to that place. Here's something that I want you to understand. Wherever you might land in that, is that the weight of the cost, and listen, there's cost to all that. There's cost to everything. There's possible embarrassment in asking questions. There's possible an admission of the fact that, you know what, I'm 35 years old. I ought to know more about the Bible, and I don't know about it. There's a cost to that. as you might reveal that to someone else. But it does not compare to the wonder of the blessing. The weight of the cost does not compare to the wonder of the blessing. So, should I stay or should I go? If I go, there will be trouble. There will be. If I stay, though, I think there will be double. We'll have trouble anyway. We'll have clashes of personality and policy and procedures anyway. But the double trouble is we won't be living out that words on the back of that wall. We won't be living out the last words of Jesus. So come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? The clear words of Jesus tell us, me and all of you, that we need to go. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what is important to you. That from the very beginning, when you called Abram out to establish a people for yourself, that it was never just about those people. It was so that they could be a blessing to the nations. And as 10 people had an incredible opportunity and privilege to go to the Dominican to experience incredible blessings themselves, it wasn't about us. It was about being able to be a blessing to others. Being able to think that one day when that building is constructed, that those kids in that neighborhood will know what an iglesia is. And out of the abundance of your love, will know who Jesus Christo is. And so, Father, we ask that, and I ask that, again, wherever this lands, whatever the going is for us, whatever the next part of going is for each of us individually, that we would do it. There was a cost. But really, I think the price is far greater if we refuse to go. So, Father, I pray that you land this wherever it lands in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.